Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show this morning, Andrew Rogerson. This show is for business owners or those thinking of becoming a business owner, or as I like to say, where Wall Street meets Main Street. We talk about selling a business, buying a business or buying a franchise, and all the issues that go with owning and operating a business. For example, marketing, operations, technology, legal, tax, lending, and finance, and lots of other management issues. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers, and I'm also certified with the International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, Successfully Start Your Business, and of course, Successfully Sell Your Business. I also an all-around nice guy with a funny accent, which is Australian, which I like to get out there because people often say, am I English or am I New Zealander or am I South African? And that just doesn't work for me. If you'd like to know a little bit more about me, you're welcome to visit my website, RogersonBusinessServices.com, R-O-G-E-R-S-O-N, RogersonBusinessService.com. Here you will find free information about selling a business, buying a business, or buying a franchise, and lots of other information. 25 free documents to help you buy or sell your business. You can even sign up for a monthly newsletter. I do a newsletter each month. It's free, and you can head onto my website, and you can sign up for a free monthly newsletter. There's also about 220 blogs. I like to write about what I do. I like to educate people about the process involved in buying a business, etc. So I've written these blogs with different articles that you may find of interest in issues like tax and operations and marketing and all sorts of things. So you're welcome to visit and look at my blog. If you need to find me, again, Andrew Rogerson's my name, R-O-G-E-R-S-O-N, or simply do a Google search on Andrew Rogerson Sacramento, and I should pop up on page one of your searches. If you have questions about buying a business, selling a business, or buying a franchise, you're welcome to give me a call. My contact number is 570-2674. Again, 916-570-2674. This weekend, I just returned from a conference in Napa. We had a conference, our annual conference for the California Association of Business Brokers. And it went for 3 days, went from Friday through Sunday, and there was a broad range of topics. It was a very well put together conference, one of the best conferences I attend for quite some time. And what was of interest to me, which I'd like to share with you, was there was one of the one of our panels which talked for about 2 hours was from SBA lenders. And what's intriguing for me was listening to the different SBA lenders. And we had four lenders there from different banks. One from Southern California, two from Northern California, and one from the Bay Area. What's interesting is that the SBA lenders each have different criteria. So there are loans being done. So this perception that it's hard to get a loan, if you're looking for a 7A loan to buy a business or a 504 loan to buy real estate, the banks are lending, and their lending criteria is still tight, but they're more relaxed than what they've used to be. So the point from the exercise is that if you're thinking about getting into a business or if you're thinking about selling a business and you need finance to help with the transaction, the lenders are there. The lenders are working it, but it may be you need to go to two or three or four lenders to finally find the right lender that will work with you. So be strong, be brave. If you're thinking of selling a business or buying a business, one of the first steps I do is reach out to an SBA lender to see if they'll qualify the business or qualify the buyer to obtain an SBA loan. I'm working right now with a couple of transactions, and I talked to an SBA lender before I started the process of selling one of the businesses. We got into the process, and the business sales had declined, and so it's a challenge for that lender to continue to approve the loan because, unfortunately for the seller, he took his eye off the ball. Which a lot of sellers do. They make the decision to sell the business, and then what they do is they think the business is sold, and they stop doing the hard things they needed to do to keep the business operating successfully. So this business had a decline in sales in January and February, which were quite sharp. the seller assures me he can get it back there, but we have a buyer that wants to buy the business. He's talked to an SBA lender. The SBA lender was on board, and then we got the sales figures for January and February, and the bank said, oh, "Whoops, sorry, we're too frightened about what's happening right now. We'll have to come back at it when the sales have normalized." So that's presented me as a challenge because the seller wants to sell. He's motivated to sell, and there's a motivated buyer that wants to buy, but the buyer's concerned with the drop in sales. And so the point of the whole thing is that if you're thinking of selling a business, it's critical to stay focused on the business. Do the same things you've been doing. Do the hard work. And if you do, it just increases your chances of being successful. So bottom line, the SBA lenders are there. The SBA lenders are looking to do deals. I closed a deal at Christmas time that required me going to 8 SBA lenders to finally get the deal approved. So it's not easy, but it can be done. So if you're thinking of selling a business or you're thinking of buying a business and an SBA loan is part of what you need as your process to make the acquisition, you're welcome to give me a call. I've got lenders who I work with on a weekly basis, and I've got good relationships with them. So I'm happy to understand what you need, make some recommendation, give you some banks to talk to, and hopefully set you up for success. This week I had a guest organised to come in, but unfortunately the guest called this morning and said, "Andrew, I'm sorry I can't make it." So it's kind of caught me off guard. So I've prepared the show around the topic of successfully selling your business. But if you have questions, I would love you to give me a call, and happy to take questions from you. The number here is 866-576-1055. Again, 866-576-1055. In a minute, I'll be talking about the steps involved in successfully selling a business. So if you have questions and there's something you'd like to run past me, please give me a call. Happy to take your call and help fill in the show, because I was expecting to have a guest, and unfortunately the guest wasn't able to make it. So please give us a call, 866-576-1055. Before I move into the topic of successfully selling a business, I just wanted to highlight a community event that I came across, which I think is a great thing. There's a charity called Movers for Mums. It's a donation drive collecting household items and clothing for the women being helped by Weave. Weave is an organization that helps women that are suffering abuse, and they've had to leave the home because the home's not stable. So Two Men a Truck, a local business here in Sacramento, they've volunteered to go around to households and collect donations for Weave, and the charity is, or the charity event is called Movers for Mom. So if you've got some household goods you don't need and you'd like to make a donation, the goal is to have all the donations made by May 12th, which is Mother's Day. So the whole event's leading up to Mother's Day. So if you have some household goods and you'd be willing to donate them to Weave, Two Men a Truck will organise that for you. If you'd like to reach out to Two Men a Truck, they're the ones that are coordinating the event. If you give Two Men a Truck a call and ask for Carolyn Durkee, Carolyn's the marketing manager at Two Men a Truck, and she's helped coordinating the event. So if you'd like to give Carolyn a call, her phone number is 916-852-7411. Again, 916-852-7411. It's Two Men a Truck doing collections for Weave, and the charity is called Movers for Mum. So give them a call. They would love your donation, and it goes to a great cause to help the women who need the services and the help for battered wives and battered women. So lots of need in the community right now. So today's topic, it's about successfully selling your business, and I'm the author of 4 books. So one of my books is Successfully Sell Your Business, and if you have a question, you're welcome to give me a call, 866-576-1055. We're heading to break. When we come back from break, I'll give you some more information about successfully selling your business.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services. So how are your allergies doing? Well, if you're like a lot of us, they're worse than ever this year. Well, sadly, researchers say that global warming is making the allergy season longer and more severe. In some parts of the country, allergies that usually start in the spring, well, they've been present all winter long. You've heard of PETA, the animal rights group. You know what? It turns out that at that group's headquarters in Virginia, they run a shelter and it kills 90% of the animals entrusted to their care. While most other shelters are well below 50%, PETA says it's because the animals that they take in, they're in worse shape than other shelters. Netflix is paying $9 million. They're settling a lawsuit. It says it violated its subscribers' privacy rights. But subscribers won't get any of the money. It's all going to nonprofit groups that do consumer education. I'm Stacey Cohen. Learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
For 50 years, California's been the number one fruit, vegetable, and nut producer in the nation. Agroculture Liquid Fertilizers offers California farmers a full line of plant nutrients with greater efficiency and unsurpassed application flexibility, solutions to the fertilizer challenges you face. Sustainably produce more food with less applied fertilizer, better yields, better quality, better for the environment. Agroculture Liquid Fertilizers. Visit agroliquid.com to find a dealer near you. That's agroliquid.com.
At CrazyPriceMall.com, this Easter, crazy low prices means more family fun for less. All prices have been dramatically reduced. With prices on interior house cleaning services, auto care, and carpet installation at crazy low prices, you can save money on the stuff you and your family need. And that means more time left over to do the things you love, like a round of golf or a meal at your favorite restaurant. All 50% off or more at CrazyPriceMall.com. And with school tuition prices slashed, you'll have more money left over for the other stuff kids need. Go there now and save money on your favorite things. CrazyPriceMall.com.
Money Experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and a certified business broker. This morning, we're talking about successfully selling your business. You may have a question. Please give us a call, 866-576-1055, and we'll be happy to take the call and see if we can get some information for you. So if you're thinking of selling a business, what's involved? It's a pretty complex process. So let me try and break it down for you and take you through some of the steps involved. There's actually a document on my website. If you have an interest, it's called The Many Steps to Sell a Business, and just gives a one-page summary of the different steps. And to start the process or to give an overview of the process, there's really four main steps involved. The first step is a planning stage, and I'll break that down in more detail in a minute. So first, phase one is doing some planning. Phase two is doing a search. Phase three is doing the deal making, find a buyer and want to put the deal together. And then phase four is the closing and getting the deal closed and hopefully the transaction closed. The seller gets paid and the buyer gets to own the business and everyone gets to live happily ever after, hopefully. So the first and most, all steps are important, but the first step is really the planning stage. And when I get a call from somebody who's thinking of selling a business, one of the first things I like to do is ask them the reason for selling the business. For whatever reason, when somebody looks to buy a business, one of the first reasons I want to know is why is the business being sold? And so from my perspective, it's an easy question to ask. Mr. Seller, Mr. Owner of the business, what's the reason you're thinking of selling? And often the reason they give may not necessarily be the right reason or the truthful reason, but they've generally got a reason why they're looking to sell. But to me, it's an important step as a business broker, because I'm looking to know why they're selling from my perspective, because I want to know what they plan to move to. I see lots of people who own a business and are thinking of selling, and they're really not quite sure what they're going to do once the business has been sold. And so sometimes they're selling from fear, or they're selling because they're really not quite sure what they should be doing now. The business is either doing well or not doing well, and they're not quite sure where they need to be. So the approach I take is to break things down and really understand what's the true reason for the person wanting to sell the business. If I can get behind that, sometimes I'll explain to them, and this is part of my role. I like to see myself as a trusted advisor. It may be that I'll suggest to them, look, this business has got great potential, or the reason you're thinking of selling, let's help you with the problem you're dealing with, and putting the business on the market and taking it through that process to sell, that may not be the best thing for you to do. So again, one of my value adds that I try to do is to make sure there's a good reason for the person selling their business, and they've got a good chance of being successful. Unfortunately, selling a business is not a fast, not a quick thing. I had a call the other day from a client who wanted to sell their business, and they wanted to be out of the business in between 4 and 6 months. And she was motivated to sell, and from spending time with her and talking to her, I just said to her, honestly, look, I don't think you're going to be able to sell the business for the amount of money you're looking for in the period of time you're looking for. Your window of selling the business is just too long. By the time we do evaluation, put all the documents together, put it into the market and start doing the marketing and getting buyer inquiries and take the buyers through the process, it's not going to be sold in the time period that you want. And she was good enough to acknowledge, yes, I was concerned that would be the case. But for me to help her professionally, it just wasn't the place I could be. And so we came up with some other strategies. So planning the sale of the business, an important step, working out why the business is for sale. For me, it's a critical step because selling the business may not be the best option. There may be other options that make sense to work through. And so that's a critical step in the process, is to work out why the seller or the owner of the business wishes to sell. Once we get through that, we then go through the data collection. There's a need to put information together to make sure I can help professionally, because again, if the person wants to sell the business and there's a major document missing or something that's not in place, the chances of succeeding selling the business are reduced. And so so part of my planning involves collecting all the data, and that includes looking at, and it's a critical thing, is looking at the financial statements. So I'm looking at the current profit and loss statement. I'm looking at the tax returns for the last 3 years. I'm looking at the current balance sheets, and that's the minimum documents I'm looking for. If the business has a lease, I'd also like to look at the lease, because I want to make sure that the lease terms allow the seller of the business to assign the lease to a buyer. Well, I want to look at the lease to find anything else that that would make it difficult for the seller to sell the business, because again, there's no point going through this process of putting the business on the market, attracting buyers and unsettling the business, because you have to disclose certain things. Yeah, there's no point doing that if there's if the lease doesn't allow for the seller to exit and exit properly. So looking at a lease is important. If the business is a franchise, one of the steps I do is look at the franchise. How many years are left on the franchise agreement? And how has the experience of the owner of the business been working with the franchisor? Has it been a positive experience? And if not, why not? I want to get my head around that so I can disclose carefully to the buyer if those disclosures are required. A lot of franchisors are now charging a fee for the owner of the franchise to sell their franchise, and so there's a cost involved. So one of the steps I like to make sure is that the franchisee, the owner of the business, knows that there's a fee and they know how much that fee is, because it is a fee that the franchisor will look to the owner of the business to pay, otherwise they won't approve the sale. So there's a cost there to the owner of the business that needs to be looked at. So gathering the data, the financial statements, profit and loss, tax return, balance sheet, looking at critical documents like a lease, like a franchise agreement. There could be a key employment agreement in place with a key employee. Those are things worth looking at, because they can be stumbling blocks. Once you've got all that information together, then there's a process involved called recasting financial statements. And what we're doing in the recasting process is actually preparing a value for the business. So many sellers of a business, so many owners of a business have a preconceived idea on what they think the value of their business is. And the recasting process, which is kind of technical, so I'll keep it simple right now, but the goal of the recasting is to try and break it down so that we can say to a buyer, here's the earnings of the seller of the business. If you were to buy the business, here's the earnings, and it lets the buyer know approximately once all the costs have been normalized. So using buzzwords and things, which I'm trying to avoid using, but the recasting process is to remove any one-off expenses that won't be recurring, because if they're one-off expenses, then they're damaging the profitability of the business, but it won't be ongoing damage, only going to be a one-off thing, so we can remove those things. I want to make sure that all the employees are being paid market rates. If the owner of the business has a family member working in the business and they're being paid above market rates, then when the business sells, that family member will drop away. So we can normalize the salary to a normal market salary. And in that case, that will increase the value of the business. So the seller's all for that idea. Conversely, the seller may have family members and he's not paying them market rates. He's just simply paying them to do some work because they're a member of the family. And if they leave the business, then we need to replace that person that's leaving, and we need to allow for a market rate. We have to hire somebody at a market rate. So therefore, we have to increase the costs in the business. Increasing costs, that will lower the value, because now the profitability or the seller's discretionary earnings from the business aren't as high as they used to be. So doing the financial recasting, that's something I do. I don't expect the owner of the business to do that. I actually put together a business valuation. It's part of my process, and I use that business valuation process to really help the owner of the business understand what's involved in the selling process. Let them ask all sorts of questions so they're comfortable with what's being done and why. And it's really a chance for me to educate them and make them feel comfortable with this huge step they're taking of selling probably their most valuable asset. Most businesses have a higher value than a person's personal residence. So it's probably the business owner's most valuable asset, and they want to make sure it's looked after, and that makes perfect sense. So you go through, you do the recasting, you put a business valuation together, and then you share the valuation with the seller. And my typical experience is that most sellers have an expectation their business is worth way more than what it really is. And again, that's part of the reason for doing such a detailed valuation. The valuation I put together is about an 18, 19 page report, and it's really designed to break the value of the business down and show the owner of the business, here's what it's worth and why. And I can just tell you from experience, I think I've done probably 60, 70, 80 valuations over the years, and it's almost without exception that the owner of the business thinks it's worth way more, and the valuation I'm bringing them, which includes looking at finance, which is the reason why I do the valuation. I want them to know that the banks will be willing to lend, which is part of my process to make sure the business would qualify for a loan. But I had one business owner I work with about 2 years ago. He thought the business was worth about $1 million, and by the time I'd put the valuation together, it came in $110,000. And when I, asked him what was his reason for thinking it was worth $1 million, he said, "Well, I've owned the business for about 25 years, so I just thought it was $1 million." So that the basis of his valuation was simply based on his longevity of owning the business. It wasn't based on anything about the performance of the business. He just figured because he'd had it for 25 years and fed his family and looked after his family, that the business was worth $1 million. But unfortunately, the cash flow of the business, and it did have family members working in it that were overpaid. By the time I did the analysis and brought it down to what it was really worth, it was a big adjustment. So the valuation's critical. We're about to head into a break, so let me pause. Thank you for listening to me on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
U.S. stocks climb as home prices overshadow a drop in confidence. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks rose as data on durable goods and home prices overshadowed a report showing consumer confidence dropped more than forecast this month as Washington's budget battles soured Americans' view of the economic outlook. Now, equities rose as residential real estate prices increased in January by the most since June 2006, according to the S&P Case-Shiller Index. And orders for durable goods climbed more than forecast in February, propelled by automobiles and a rebound in commercial aircraft. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 77 points, or a half of a percent, to 14,525. S&P 500 Index up 4-tenths of a percent to 1,558. And the NASDAQ gained 2-tenths of a percent to 3,242. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Homebuyers, are your offers being turned down due to cash buyers? Are you tired of wasting your time and money looking for a home only to have your offer ignored? If you're feeling powerless against cash buyers with deep pockets and big money investors, then it's time to take the power back. Hi, I'm George from Essex Mortgage, and I'd like to introduce your Purchase Power Team. My team and I have devised a very unique and creative solution to this problem. We eliminate the competition by aligning ourselves with agents and investors, and we put them to work for you. This will eliminate price wars, all within a unique financing package that even includes down payment assistance for those who qualify. Our realtor partners have access to homes that are not even on the market yet. Call me, George, at Essex Mortgage, 916-802-4137, or go to PurchasePowerTeam.com and take the power back.
Essex Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS 70377, DOC 607-3343, NMLS 397095.
So, how are your allergies doing? Well, if you're like a lot of us, they're worse than ever this year. Well, sadly, researchers say that global warming is making the allergy season longer and more severe. In some parts of the country, allergies that usually start in the spring, well, they've been present all winter long. You've heard of PETA, the animal rights group. You know what? It turns out that at that group's headquarters in Virginia, they run a shelter and it kills 90% of the animals entrusted to their care. While most other shelters are well below 50%, PETA says it's because the animals that they take in, they're in worse shape than other shelters. Netflix is paying $9 million. They're settling a lawsuit. It says it violated its subscribers' privacy rights. But subscribers won't get any of the money. It's all going to nonprofit groups that do consumer education. I'm Stacey Cohen. Learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and I'm a certified business broker. This morning, we've been talking about the steps to successfully sell a business. If you've got questions, please give us a call, 866-576-1055. Happy to take your questions and answer any questions you may have. I've also got some copies of my book. If you'd like to get a copy of a book, it's available for free. The book's called Successfully Sell Your Business. Just use the same number to call in. My producer, Diane, will answer your call and she'll take your name and details and make the book available for you. Again, if you want to get a free copy of my book, Successfully Sell Your Business, 866-576-1055. So the topic I'm talking about this morning is successfully selling your business. And we were working through the planning process. We've decided to sell. We've got together the financial statements and other important documents like the lease and the franchise agreement, if that's applicable. We've done a valuation. And now the next step is to put together what I call a one-page executive summary. And that one-page executive summary is a blind summary of the business. It's designed to share with the community, of business buyers that are thinking of buying the business. Most buyers have a bunch of questions, and so they want to get into things like location and how much profit the business is making. They want to see copies of tax returns. From my perspective, you're going too fast, Mr. Buyer. You need to show you have an ability to buy the business. So I understand you'll need information. So the way I present information to them is through this one-page executive summary. It gives them an overview of the business. It doesn't tell them the business name. It doesn't tell them location. It doesn't tell them the reason the business is being sold. But it gives them information to say, hey, if this business is of interest to you, here's some initial information. Obviously, you'll have extra questions, but if you're serious about buying the business, I want some information from you. So the goal of the executive summary, nice and simple. It just allows me to present to potential buyers some information about the business, present it in a professional format, and then if the buyer has more interest, we can get deeper into conversations. If the location is the wrong location, if it's not making enough money, if they don't qualify for an SBA loan, there's no point going further because it's just wasting time and slowing things down. It's just not necessary. So once you've prepared the one-page executive summary, before you go to market, there is one other document to prepare, which is critical, and that's a confidential business review or a confidential business summary. And this can be as long as it needs to be. But this is a multi-page document, and it does have the confidential information in the business, such as the location of the business, the reason the business is being sold, the history of the business. It'll have some financial statements in there, some detailed financial disclosures, so the buyer can see that the business is presented well and encourage them to keep going through the process. But I put together the confidential business review in conjunction with the seller because this is a critical document and it gets shared with the buyer. Once the buyer's signed and returned a confidentiality agreement, and I also collect a personal financial statement from the buyer because I want to make sure that the buyer that's inquiring has the ability to buy the business. There's no point in disclosing confidential information about the business if the buyer is simply not qualified and hasn't got an ability to close the deal. So I like to be organized, as you can see, with the planning process, put my documents in place, put everything in place, so if we find the right buyer for the right opportunity, we can bring the two together and then start the negotiating process. So once we've done the planning, we've gone through and done all the planning, we've done the valuation, we've prepared an executive summary, we have a confidential business review. Now it's time to go to the market and see if we can find some buyers that have an interest in this business. So going to market typically involves posting the business for sale on a bunch of websites, and one of the benefits to me as the broker for the seller is that these are costs I incur. This isn't a cost for the seller to pay for. I have a contract in place with these websites. I pay the fee, and it allows me to post the business for sale and attract buyers to give me a call. When a buyer calls in, I typically send them a one-page executive summary, which we put together, and I'll send them a non-disclosure agreement because I'm looking for them to sign the non-disclosure agreement to agree that they won't share confidential information about the business, and the non-disclosure agreement also has a personal financial statement. So I'm looking for the buyer to show they're serious and they have the ability to either provide a down payment to buy the business. Or what I typically do is ask the buyer, are you paying cash? And in most cases, they're not paying cash. If they're looking to get a loan, I may encourage them to make contact with an SBA lender to see if they do qualify for a loan, because not everyone who wants to get an SBA loan will qualify for one. I'm working right now with a couple that want to buy the business, but unfortunately they've got a problem that occurred a few years ago, and the SBA will not approve a loan for this situation. So they're not going to be able to buy the business because they're not going to be able to buy the business based on what they're currently planning to do, because one of the buyers of the business has a record, and it will preclude them from getting an SBA loan. From the CAB conference over the weekend, I also found that if you've borrowed money from another government agency and you've had a default on that payment, for example, if you owe back taxes, or if you've had a home loan through the FHA or one of the other government guaranteed lenders or some other government guaranteed agency, if you've had a loan and defaulted, that will preclude you from getting an SBA loan. So the government backs the SBA loan is guaranteed by the US taxpayer. So the government's logic is very simple and very correct, that if somebody's been given a loan that the government's backed them for previously and they weren't able to make payment on the loan, then they're not going to expose the taxpayer a second time to that person. So that's part of the SBA process, is to look behind the buyer and their financial record and make sure they have the ability to do a loan and make sure their credit history is good, their credit score is good. They have management experience. One of the reasons a lot of SBA lenders aren't approving loans is that the buyer of the business may not have the management experience in that particular industry. The SBA did an analysis about 3 or 4 years ago, and it looked at the reasons why SBA loans failed. And the number one reason that SBA loans were failing, or the borrower was failing making payments on the loan, is because the borrower was buying a business in an industry they didn't have the right experience in. And so the SBA have really tightened that up. An example I like to give, it's somebody that's worked all their life in the technology industry wants to buy a hair salon. They have no background, no experience in that industry. So it makes perfect sense for the SBA to say, I'm sorry, you're not qualified to get an SBA loan. You simply lack the management experience for that industry. And it makes perfect sense. A lot of people were buying pizza businesses. A lot of people were buying gas stations, and they simply lacked the experience to run those businesses. And so SBA's tightened that process up and made it more made it harder for people to qualify for a loan. You're on 105.5 FM, Money 2.0. I'm Andrew Rogerson. We're talking about the steps to successfully sell a business. If you've got a question, you're welcome to give me a call, 866-576-1055. I've also got some books available. If you'd like to get a free copy of my book, give us a call, 866-576-1055. Diane will answer the phone and she'll be happy to take your details, Dan, and we'll get a copy of the book to you. Successfully selling a business. So what's after we've done the planning and the search. So we've got a buyer that's showing some interest, and the buyer has signed and completed the non-disclosure agreement and sent it back to me. They've sent in a personal financial statement. We've looked at their credit history to talk to them about getting an SBA loan, and they've got some interest from a lender that says, yes, this looks good. Now it's time for the buyer to come and meet the seller. And obviously they're interested to know the business and get an idea of its location and if it's got employees, how many employees, and the different skills in the business. They also want to meet the seller to meet and really understand why the seller of the business is selling. What are they really planning to do? And so the deal making takes place. And in this deal making phase, there's six steps. So the buyer visits and meets the seller. They tour the business. Obviously, they want to see what they're hopefully planning to buy. And then after they've had a meeting with the seller, they go away because their next process is to say, okay, this is attractive. I have an interest in buying this. Or conversely, I didn't like something I found out, and this just isn't the business where I want to be. The rent's too high. The industry is declining. There's too much competition. All sorts of reasons. Buyers are very, I was going to say fickle, which isn't fair, but buyers are looking to buy the business that meets their criteria. And so meeting the seller, touring the business, and then going away to work through what they plan to do, that's an important part of the process. If they do the visit and meet the seller and tour the business and got the finances and feel good about it, the next step is for the buyer to put together an offer. And they've got two choices. As a business broker, I have it's about a 14-page purchase agreement that I can put together to help the buyer and the seller through the process. It's a template that's been designed by the franchise that I'm part of, and it allows me to make an offer on behalf of the buyer and negotiate the offer with the seller. So I can put together a purchase agreement. Or it may be the preference of the buyer to have an attorney put together a letter of intent. Some buyers prefer not to jump into a purchase agreement. They just prefer to make an offer just to test and see if the seller has an interest to talk further and negotiate a deal. So a purchase agreement is one option, or alternatively, a letter of intent is another option. And as the broker in the transaction, it's my job to present the document that the buyer gives to me to the seller, and start the negotiations, and that's the fun part. Now we're in a process of negotiating, and it can take much longer than most people expect. It's a view that it should be a fairly quick process, but it just doesn't seem to happen that way. There's so many moving parts in a transaction. Making sure that the buyer's clear and the seller's clear, negotiating in good faith, making sure finance is available. It may be a requirement from the offer from the buyer that the seller has to carry some finance. So if that's part of the offer, then the seller's got all sorts of questions about the suitability of the buyer and what collateral the buyer is willing to offer for the seller finance. And if the SBA loan's involved, then unfortunately for the seller, the SBA will be in first place, and they will take the collateral. So it means the seller has to decide if they're going to carry seller finance. that they're going to get paid, and that's obviously a concern to the seller. Thank you for listening today. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 210. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson. We're heading into a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up successfully selling your business.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
At CrazyPriceMall.com, this Easter, crazy low prices means more family fun for less. All prices have been dramatically reduced. With prices on interior house cleaning services, auto care, and carpet installation at crazy low prices, you can save money on the stuff you and your family need. And that means more time left over to do the things you love, like a round of golf or a meal at your favorite restaurant. All 50% off or more at CrazyPriceMall.com. And with school tuition, tuition prices slashed, you'll have more money left over for the other stuff kids need. Go there now and save money on your favorite things. CrazyPriceMall.com.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back. You're on Money 2.0 and 105.5 FM. I'm your host of the show this morning, Andrew Rogerson, and we're talking about successfully selling your business. If you've got questions, you've got a few minutes to call in, 866-576-1055. If you'd like a copy of the book I've written, Successfully Sell Your Business, you're welcome to call in, 866-576-1055. We've just been going through the process or the steps involved in selling successfully selling a business, and we've covered the three phases: the planning phase, the search phase, the deal-making phase. And now we're heading into the most exciting part of the transaction, which is the closing sale. And this closing phase can be difficult. Lots of deals get this far. A lot of work's been done. Could take months to get to this point of actually now getting into the closing phase, because it's an important part of the transaction. So typically, the closing phase, once the buyer and seller have gone through and negotiated a deal, and again, that can be a long process in itself. I've got a transaction I'm working right now where I had an offer from the buyer at the beginning of January. I think it was actually on the 31st of December, to be correct. And we end up finalizing the negotiations about 2 weeks ago. So once the negotiations have been finalized and a letter of intent has been signed by the buyer and the seller, the buyer now gets to do their due diligence, and due diligence is a critical step for the buyer, because they get to verify all the representations made by the seller, and that's an important step. All these documents we've been putting together, the executive summary, the confidential business review, the financial statements, the profit and loss we've been disclosing, the lease that we've been disclosing, we now give the buyer an opportunity to bring in their professionals, and it could be their accountant or could be an attorney, it could be all of them. But the buyer has the opportunity for a period of time, generally a 2 week or 3 week period, to validate, to verify all the representations that have been made by the seller. And it's an important part of the transaction, because if the buyer gets in and finds out there's the sales tax hasn't been paid, or the employee payroll tax hasn't been paid, they're not going to be interested in buying the business, because the seller has a liability that they don't wish to take on. These liabilities can stay with the seller if the business closes, but they can affect the value of the business, because there's a cost that that have to be paid, and the buyer will have to pay the sales tax and pay the payroll taxes. And if the owner of the business hasn't been doing that, and the valuation's been based on those costs not being there, obviously the value will come down, and plus it just unsettles the buyer that the seller hasn't been following the law. So the due diligence, an important and critical step in the process. Buyer gets to do whatever they need to do to make sure they're comfortable with things, and we try and make it a 2 or 3 week period, because you don't want it to just keep going on and on. Because while the due diligence is taking place, hopefully the buyer's in the process of getting their finance finalized, and this could, if they're getting an SBA loan, be working with the SBA lender. It'll be ordering, obviously making the application to the SBA lender. But the SBA lender, if the business has a certain value, the SBA lender is required to get a third-party independent business valuation to support their loan. So lots of things to be done in this stage, and it's important that they're taken care of. Otherwise the deal just can't get done, or it just keeps dragging on and on. And we have an expression in business brokerage that time kills deals. So it's important that all these things get dealt with in a timely manner. Otherwise, if they just drift out there, it just creates frustration, and somebody drops out, be it the seller loses interest, or the buyer loses interest, or whatever. So it's important to keep momentum going and keep everyone focused. Because once you get through the due diligence and the lending looks good, it's now a matter of opening up escrow. And in California, we have a formal escrow requirement. About 3 weeks ago, I had a guest on the show, Lisa Decker, and Lisa's with an escrow company. She's with Fidelity National Title, and Fidelity National Title are an escrow company, and they just specialize in doing business transactions. So the escrow process for buying a business or for selling a business, it's different to a residential transaction, selling a home, and it's also different to commercial property. So if you're buying or selling a business, the escrow process gets opened, and one of the requirements of the escrow process is to do what they call a bulk sale. If the business has inventory, there's a requirement in California that if the value of the inventory is greater than 50% of the inventory owned by the owner of the business, then there's a need to notify creditors. And that's the purpose of the bulk sale process, is that there's a notification, which generally the escrow company will do for you. They'll put a notification in the correct newspaper, letting creditors know that the business is up for sale and it's changing hands. And if you're a creditor and you're owed money by the seller of the business, you need to go and look for payment from the seller of the business. You cannot look to payment from the buyer of the business, because they will be buying the inventory free and clear, and it's their expectation, that the buyer's expectation, that that they're getting the goods and inventory, and they aren't going to have to pay for it again, because they're paying the seller of the business as part of the purchase price, the inventory, and they don't have any interest to have to pay for it twice. It's also a critical step in the process. I did a transaction a couple of years ago where a seller had some cabinet work done. It was a retail store, and he'd hired a cabinet maker to put cabinets into the store to display the goods. And unfortunately for the seller, unfortunately for the cabinet maker, the seller had never paid the seller. And so the cabinet maker, the business changed hands, the bulk sale notification was done, and the cabinet maker didn't realize the business was changing hands. And he found out about 2 months later, after the business had changed hands. And so he approached the buyer and said, "Mr. Buyer, you now have my cabinets in your store. I want you to make good this $50,000 that's owed to me, and I'm expecting you to pay that." And the buyer of the business said, "I'm sorry, we've paid the seller of the business. You need to go back to the seller to get the payment from them." And it turned out that the cabinet maker had a friendship with the seller, and so he didn't know what was happening. But the seller, I'm not quite sure how it finished up, but the cabinet maker had an attorney write to the buyer. I was the broker in the transaction. Because we'd gone through the bulk sale process, we were able to fully protect the buyer, and there was no recourse back to the buyer. So So the escrow process, the bulk sale process, critical phase in the transaction. So it's there to protect the buyer. The due diligence is there to protect the buyer. All important steps. And once you're getting to through the escrow process, guess what? It's the signing documents, because we're getting to stage now. Congratulations, the business has now been sold by the seller, and congratulations to the buyer. They're now the new owner of the business, and that's the steps involved in selling the business. Many steps can take a long period of time. Can take in today's market, it could take up to 12 months before the business finally sells, going through all those steps. Each business varies. The better the presentation, the better documents put together, the more accurately the business is priced, the greater the chances of success. If you're looking for more information, please visit my website. I have some free documents on my website. There's a sample of a business valuation. There's this one-page executive summary I've been working off this morning that's available. Other documents there. The website's rogersonbusinessservices.com. Jump on there. There's a black ribbon across the top with different drop-downs. There's an option there, successfully sell your business, and also there's one there on successfully on buying a business. So you're welcome to get some more information. Please visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. If you've got a question, you're more than welcome to give me a call, 916-570-2674. Again, 916-570-2674. If you'd like to shoot me an email, again, go to my website. There's an email address on my website. You can shoot me an email, and I'm more than happy to answer your questions and help you any way I can. Thank you for listening today. You've been on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. Our guest next week is Karen Rice. Karen's with a company called Constant Contact, and Karen's the regional director with Constant Contact, and her team here in Northern Cali, they put on free seminars and other training around social media and how to stay in touch with your clients through an online newsletter and other tools they've got. So Karen's my guest next week. She'll be talking about Constant Contact and giving you some suggestions about how to stay in touch with your clients, build some loyalty, and educate your clients. I use the Constant Contact newsletter once a month, and I find it a great thing. So thank you for listening today. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and we'll talk to you next week.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.